Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio. Every week, Federal News Radio Executive Editor Jason Miller interviews CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Now, your host, Jason Miller.
My special guest today is Sharnalee Haldar, the NARA Chief Information Officer. Sharnalee, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Thank you, Jason.
So you've been at NARA now for about 2 years. You've been the CIO since about June. Take us through your background a little. How did you end up coming to NARA in the first place?
Sure, I'd love to. You know, one of the reasons that I chose the IT field is that I totally enjoy partnering with our business community to help enable their business. So I enjoy working with people to understand first what they need to do and get done, and then figuring out a way to how to help them behind the scenes. Before I came to NARA, I was the CIO at the Foreign Agricultural Service with the USDA. Before that, I was also at USDA at the Farm Service Agency as their software development chief. My initial start actually with the federal government was as a co-op student, I don't want to date myself, with the Foreign Agricultural Service as I was working towards my computer science degree. I love technology. I love NARA's mission. Here I am.
Interesting. Now, it's interesting that you moved from an agriculture background into a records management. I know there's some similarities, some differences. What attracted you to NARA in the first place?
I like history. I like what NARA does. I like the fact that technology is a big part of NARA's mission. We take, you know, permanent federal records and we make it accessible to the public. And I think that's where IT kicks in as a big strategic part of NARA's mission. And I totally enjoy that, having that role in the leadership team.
Now, were you like the rest of us that when you wanted to major in something and someone said to you, you should have a minor or a second major in something like history? I was a mass communications major, and then I also took a history minor because someone told me it would be a good idea.
No, you know, my original track was math.
Of course, and you're a computer scientist.
I loved math until I really discovered how much math I had to take. So I was far enough along that I could easily switch the track to computer science and not have it impact my college career at a great length. So it was a great fit. And, you know, I've always been in the technology field professionally, and I continue to enjoy being in the IT field.
So here, you came to NARA about 2 years ago. The learning curve when you come to any new agency can be steep. Was it steep for you? Did you have to take, you know, that first year and really learn all the ins and outs? Because I think you came over to NARA, correct me if I'm wrong, as the deputy CIO?
Yes. So I joined NARA a couple of years ago as the deputy CIO, as well as I had the hat of the director of operations. And so when I came on board, I had to do a deep dive into the operational aspects of NARA, and I can't think of a better way to find out and learn about NARA's mission as I did through the deep dive that I had to do in my role at the time. And NARA's mission, as you know, is to provide public access to federal government records in our custody. So I got an opportunity to also link some of our IT initiatives at the time to the NARA strategic plan and lay out some major milestones to help achieve some of the NARA strategic plans to make access happen, connect with customers, maximizing our value to the nation. You know, the National Archives is the nation's record keeper, right? So our holdings range from documents on parchment written with quill pens to speeches recorded on wax cylinders to official correspondence on onion skin and thermofax paper to emails, right? So strategizing on futuristic preservation techniques to manage that array of records is thrilling. I'm excited. It's an exciting challenge.
And I think, in many ways, NARA has a great mission, and also you guys come at it in such an interesting way. And we'll talk about this later, but I've followed the Electronic Records Archive for years, and from the very beginning of the first idea about it, it was, okay, we have this Microsoft, 2003 document. How do we make sure that in, 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now, people can still access that electronic file? And I know we'll get to that in a sec. Let's talk about your role now that you're CIO, again, since June. So you're pushing almost a year, maybe 9 months. Discuss your role. You sound like you have some operational background, but as we all know, CIOs now are expected to be both operational and very much strategic. How do you support NARA's mission?
So it's very, very exciting to have the job here at NARA that allows me to play out the passions that originally brought me to IT. Again, IT is a strategic part of managing electronic records. You know, we must ensure our service delivery matches our customer expectations. We need to make sure our infrastructure can adapt to the scalable needs that our customers will have and the public will need. We need to make sure our team has the agile processes and products available to them to deliver those needs. We need to help our internal stakeholders have the tools that they need to serve NARA's external stakeholders. So some of the changes that we're implementing that hopefully will help enable NARA and its mission, we're realigning the enterprise architecture plan. We need to ensure that our technology now and in the future can adapt to the evolving needs of our customers. Another change that we're implementing is we are realigning the IT organization and the governance processes so that we can partner upfront with our businesses to help them build the solid business cases that they need to ensure that they get the IT solutions that they need at the end of the day to do their jobs. So implementing several changes and getting through some issues that we need to kind of stabilize to have a better service delivery organization.
Now, from your role perspective, do you spend right now, since you're still fairly new to the CIO role, more time as a, for instance, in the operations side and less time on strategy, or do you see yourself maybe 50-50?
Actually, it's a little more in the operations side than I want it to be. Some of my leadership folks around me, you know, we've had several retirements and changes in the leadership team, so I am right now in the midst of rebuilding the leadership team around me. As you know, people are what get the job done. So as soon as I get that stabilized, I hope to focus a bit more on the strategic side and look at the future and what this organization needs and what NARA needs out of this organization to help a better alignment. But right now, it's a little more operational than strategic.
Now, is that going to be hard for you to give up the operational side? I mean,
not at all. I'm chomping at the bit.
Because it's interesting when you look back when you described your background, you worked at the agriculture department in the software development. You were the lead developer. So that always says to me somebody who likes the bits and the bytes, likes the software coding, likes to solve problems. So sometimes it is hard to give up that operational side. But
no. So I've been a developer by myself. I've been in infrastructure operations world myself. The last role I had in the development world, actually in the farm service agency, was not as a hands-on developer anymore, but the branch chief. So that did allow me to look at the future and what tools and products and services we need to deliver as a software delivery branch. So no, my jump to strategic thought processes is not going to be a big leap at all. And I honestly am looking forward to making that change and having the folks around me in an operational leadership capacity that I need so I can focus on the strategic.
You mentioned that you've had some turnover, some retirements. What specific roles are you guys looking to fill right now? Are there any of them that are open, or are they in those final stages of you've maybe picked your person, but the, you know, all the T's and I's need to be crossed and dotted?
So about almost a little less than a year ago, our chief technology officer retired. Since I was selected as the CIO, the operational director position was open. Actually, we filled that one. And NARA has a freeze hiring exception process in place. So we're working through that process to get the exceptions for my leadership team that I need to appropriately then announce the vacancies and so forth and get the leadership roles filled as we speak. So there have been some key positions that have been vacated that I'm looking to fill and currently have filled some of them and looking to fill some of them in the hopefully near future.
All right. Well, maybe through this show, you'll get a few more candidates.
There you go.
You a call. So, you know, you think about that free advertising.
I know. How about that? I'll take it.
We're going to take a quick break. But before I do that, just real quick, discuss the makeup of your office, how many federal employees, how many contractors, and your IT budget.
So right now we have about 100 or so hardworking, dedicated FTEs. And if I knew they were listening, I would thank each and every one of them. As far as our contractors, we have, that number varies as our projects and requirements change and what the expertise we need for current initiatives. Our current IT budget is just under $71 million, and that's made up of our salaries and expenses, infrastructure, as well as the care and feeding of our systems.
So is the ratio between FTEs and contractors, and I know you said it varies, is that a good ratio? Is that something you're looking at saying, I'd like to reduce that ratio, maybe have more FTEs if possible?
I, I am looking to reduce the ratio just a tad bit. On the other hand, I'm looking to grow some additional competencies within the IT shop that we don't currently have. So the ratio will be impacted in some way or fashion soon.
And I know there's a big push in government. You see organizations like GSA's 18F and the digital services groups that OMB is telling agencies to put together of bringing back that technical expertise in, and not just the technical one, but the program management, the project management. I was at an event just recently where someone said, you know, the government should reassume the systems integrator role. That got a lot of vendors, their heart palpitated a little bit. But is that the type of thing you're looking at from a additional competencies, whether it's technical skills or agile development or even data scientist type of skills?
So we are looking to grow some of our leadership competency in the data scientist arena. As you can imagine, data is a big part of our world. We already have organizations that support our program management and project management. Granted, we could use a few more bodies in those groups. I would like to grow some of the technical expertise in-house, not necessarily to be the hands-on integrators, but to have that expertise in-house as well as partnering with our vendor community. So kind of all of the above, I guess, right?
And, of course, cyber, you left that out, but I'm sure that's among your top three as well. You never have enough cyber folks.
No, we don't, do we? No, we don't.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's interesting because covering government for as long as I have, you hear that a lot from people, you know, project and program management, cyber, and then everything else that's either new or up and coming.
Takes a back seat, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back and jump back into some of those priorities you gave us a little bit of a heads up on. My guest today is Sharna Lee Haldar, the National Archives and Records Administration's Chief Information Officer. I'm your host, Jason Miller, and you're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm your host, Jason Miller. My guest today is Sharna Lee Haldar, the NARA Chief Information Officer. Now, Sharna Lee, before break, you were giving us your background, how you got to NARA, and then you also started to give us a few of your priorities, and I want to jump into those right now. You said realigning your enterprise architecture plan, and let's make sure we don't put people to sleep when we talk about EA. And, of course, you talked about realigning your IT organization and the governance processes. Let's start there with your priorities. What are you hoping to get done in those two areas?
Great. So, you know, along with the enterprise architecture changes that we need to look at, and my organization, my priorities over the next 6 to 9 months basically boils down to becoming an agile service delivery organization. To do this, you know, we'll have to have an adaptive service delivery model. We'll need to have scalable infrastructure. We'll need a standardized and mature cloud acquisition and consumption model. We need the appropriate organization structure. And, you know, in addition to having the appropriate organizational structure, I need to look at the staff. Are we making sure that they are getting the professional development and training that they need to get their jobs done? Are we bringing in the right industry leaders and experts and training to help our staff deliver what they need to deliver? I'm also focusing on a collaborative work environment where we have more frequent staff meetings, transparency, and discussion. We have social gatherings and informals with both myself and my team. I have a standing invite out there to anyone on my staff that wants to have a one-on-one. Come and chat with me. What's on your mind? How's your role? Do you feel you're prepared? Do you have a passion project that you might think might help us or NARA? You know, technology is often viewed as a cold combination of bits and bytes, right? But even that won't work if, in my mind, the people working those bits and bytes are not appropriately set up for success. So that's my focus. I need to have engaged and empowered people to do their jobs.
And I think that's, in many ways, that's a big change from what, you know, you hear a lot of CIOs talk to. A lot of people talk about the idea of the technology, the infrastructure, the scalable, the idea of the agile, but they don't come back to all that is great, but if I don't have the people, nothing else matters. So let's go down that path for a second. We talked a little bit about some of the people challenges. Why do you think that you guys need to relook at your people environment in a sense? Is it just a training issue because training has been neglected, not just at NARA, but really throughout the government? Or is it just the changing nature of technology? How do you ensure that your folks are keeping up?
I think it's a little bit of all of that. So IT technology, you know, changes before our eyes, before we can blink. So that's a given in our field. So training is always a thing I want to make sure our folks get and are budgeted for and we're making sure happens. But, you know, the culture of NARA's mission is so greatly changing from getting those parchment paper records and preserving and making access available to those to born digital or digitized records. And we need to make sure that our folks that make access available to those types of records are equipped with the right expertise, the background, the knowledge they need to manage, whether it's a project they're managing themselves or delivering or a group of contractors with our vendor community. So it's a little of all of that. The IT world is never going to, you know, we're always going to need training to just stay ahead of the game. But NARA's culture is changing in such a great way that I want to make sure that our folks are well equipped to do their jobs. You know, I've been in management for quite a long time, and I know that if the people that are behind you can't do their job, you're not going to be able to deliver your mission. So I truly believe in enabling my staff and organization and leadership folks to get what they need to get done.
Is there something that you're doing specifically? You know, you mentioned the one-on-one meetings, but that can only take you so far. Are there other things you're doing more maybe across the board around training, workforce development to ensure that you are meeting these goals that you just laid out?
So, you know, in the government, as much as our training budgets are minimized, we also have some great opportunities to collaborate with other service providers or similar organizations and federal partners. And I'm constantly getting these great announcements of free training seminars or discussions or roundtables. And I've gotten great feedback from my staff who now have access to those possibilities and opportunities. So it's not just paid training that adds to our expertise. It's a well-rounded offering of, you know, how people can get their jobs done, whether it's collaborating with their cohorts in another agency or a vendor community that can, you know, help us focus on tools for electronic records or whether it's program management or project management. So I try to make the whole gamut available as much as we can and encourage people to take advantage of it. I mean, I know we all have a job to do and it's never a good time to set aside our job and get trained, but it is what it is. We need to make that time.
And actually, that was actually something that occurred to me. How do you ensure that your staff knows that, yes, training is important, and if you need to go take this course for a few hours or you need to watch this webinar, how do you take advantage of that without feeling that, oh, no, now I got to work an extra hour, an extra 2 hours to make up for the work I missed? How do you ensure that they're comfortable with that trade-off?
So I think deadlines should be treated as nice to have deadlines. There are some hard deadlines that we can't miss, and I encourage my management and supervisors teams to balance and round out deadlines along with what an employee needs for their growth and so forth. You know, if an employee absolutely can't do something for a half-a-day seminar because they're just facing a deadline and so forth, we try to encourage other ways to acquire that knowledge, and whether it's a recording after the fact or look for other similar sessions and so forth. And my management and supervisor team knows that we're going to always have deadlines, but we also need to make sure that our employees have a well-rounded way of doing their job, and training and seminars and webinars are a big part of that. So
much of what happens in government is training gets cut, the budget gets cut, but then also you're down people. So, oh, I don't have time to go watch that, or
yeah,
or my boss doesn't, you know, they want me to do this type of training, but how do I get that done with these six other things that are more important? So I think it's good that when you send that message, people, I think, are very receptive to it. I imagine your staff is very excited to know that they have some flexibility in there.
I hope so. I mean, training is just not something we can set aside because we do have deadlines. It is an integral piece of what we do and how we do it. So it's important to me, and I hope it's important to our staff, and reflect that it's important to us in going forward.
Let me move over back to the EA for a second. Enterprise architecture, it's something that I think every agency was told, you know, 10, 12 years ago to jump into. Some agencies have had more success than others. From NARA's perspective, what are you doing to improve, to better your EA?
Really? You're going to go down that path of putting everybody to sleep?
We are. We're going to put people to sleep because you know why? The show's Ask the CIO. So I know my audience, that they love the EA. And I'm confident that you're going to make this interesting. So tell us about enterprise architecture. And then there's plenty more interesting things that you have to talk to, I'm sure, as well.
So, you know, we're revisiting our enterprise architecture framework in the sense that, you know, yes, we have an existing plan and framework, but, you know, where does that need to be to serve both today's needs as well as our ongoing access needs in the future? And we're aligning it to more of an open architecture framework and bring in tools and services that we can easily do in a modularized fashion. And that actually is very telling in our next generation of the electronic records archive system as well, which we'll, I'm sure, talk about at some point in this discussion. So we're trying to align our EA where it's not so stringent and it's got more of an open framework that we are flexible and scalable to the future needs.
That wasn't so bad. That's interesting because it goes back to the ERA. It goes back to some of the other important things you talked about, which we're going to come right back to after we take this break. You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. My guest today is Sharna Lee Haldar, the NARA Chief Information Officer. I'm your host, Jason Miller. Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm your host, Jason Miller. My guest today is Sharna Lee Haldar, the NARA Chief Information Officer. Now, Sharna Lee, before break, we were talking about your priorities. You got through the enterprise architecture. Thank you for doing that. There's 2 minutes of enterprise architecture. But it's really important because I think when you talk about an open architecture framework, bringing in tools for modular development, that is what is the buzz all around government. The other thing you said, though, earlier in the program is about the changes you're making to IT governance. And again, that is something I'm hearing every CIO talk about, really more business focused. Talk about how NARA is becoming more business focused from an IT perspective.
Okay. So what we're looking at our governance process to be more aligned to is, you know, ensuring and helping our business customers develop, even in the initial stages, those business cases that we can help develop, do the right requirements, and get it through the governance processes and boards to get appropriate funding and get the right products as they need. So I'm looking to restructure the governance and make it more scalable, more agile, and we're changing governance board makeups. We're looking at defining resources that we can bring in to help the customer side. In IT 10 years ago, you know, we just kind of sat behind desks and wrote some codes and delivered products, and I think the facet of IT is changing where we need to be more customer focused. If, you know, our business folks know what they need, but they might not know how to articulate that in a business case that would stand up to governance regulations. So I would like to change our focus on governance on starting with partnering with our business folks to develop those solid business cases and ensure each governance get the appropriate artifacts and reviews that it needs to make sure that the product at the end of the day is stable and what the customers needed from day one.
When you talk about looking to restructure, make it more scalable, defining the resources, is it the sense of where a lot of agencies, and I know NARA is not that big, where they have a CIO and then they meet with the CFO and maybe the chief acquisition professional and the deputy secretary, or in your case, I guess, the deputy director. Is that what type of governance process, or even further down where you're looking at the business leads? Talk a little bit about what that change will look like.
The current governance structure as it stands has several internal IT governance boards as well as NARA executive level board, where if we don't have the identified funding needed or so forth, we bring it to that level. The future governance process will continue to have internal boards, but we will make it very clear as far as, you know, at each gate review. So we have the requirements gate review. We will partner with our folks to develop the right level of requirements. At the design gate review, we will still have the chief technology officer leading that design review, but by that time, his systems engineers will have partnered with our business folks and the supporting vendors to develop the design that aligns to our enterprise architecture. So we're going to be a lot more proactive than we've been in the past, which I hope gives our business community a better feel for when they have an IT need that they're ensured that they will get that need met in the right way and follow the right governance.
Earlier, we talked a lot about the workforce. Are you changing the makeup of your office at all in terms of to refocus on the business side or customer service reps? I know that's not the proper word in the IT world, but something to that effect?
Absolutely. So I want part of our IT organization to be their main focus being our business liaisons. I'm going to have a group of program managers that become and focus on the business needs and programs that we manage in IT. We're going to have a customer service liaison that makes sure that we are delivering things and measure and the satisfaction level for our customers. Unlike 10 years ago, IT needs a huge customer service focus that I think will help us enable our business folks and partners to get the tools that they need.
What's the plan to set this up? I want to go into some other things, but just from a timing standpoint, do you hope to get this in the place in the next 6 months, next year?
The reorganization has been generated. The vision has been described through the organizational boxes and divisions and so forth. We are hoping to work with our human capital folks to put that in play over the next 6 to 9 months.
All right, something to look forward to and something to follow up with you on. I want to jump to the next thing. You mentioned this kind of in passing several times, records management. Obviously, that is the key, as the key NARA mission. Last time I spoke to the NARA CIO back in 2011, so almost 4 years ago, one of the big efforts at the time was putting records management in the cloud. What's the latest with that effort? Talk about where cloud fits into your mission area.
Certainly. We're continuing our strategies for an effective process for authentication, dissemination, and accessibility to permanent federal records in the cloud. We are developing the next generation of the online public access catalog in the cloud. The current ERA has successfully ingested over 1 terabyte of data monthly as the surge has been needed. The Census 2010 project was completed successfully. We took custody of the 2010 records. As you know, that came on racks of storage from Census, and we have since safely preserved those records and actually recently completed a tech refresh that allowed us to migrate the records to new storage equipment. The amount of data that has to be effectively transferred to NARA for long-term preservation and permanent public access is still overwhelming, and we're looking to deliver the next generation of the ERA software, taking into consideration the storage and scalability needs for access in the future. The cloud is a huge part of our future, and we're partnering with our acquisition folks to make sure we have a scalable, agile process to not just procure but to consume the cloud services versus the on-prem.
Now, you talked about the records management in the cloud, and one of the things you mentioned was next generation of the electronic records archive. I've covered this program since its inception. It's a fascinating program. It's had its ups. It had its downs. Where are you now with it? What's this next generation? Go into more detail of what that will look like.
Okay, great. I'd love to. So the ERA current program, as you know, it is evolving. So we're devising the next generation for this program, and we're making it in a modernized, more modular fashion to allow our federal agencies to import their permanent records and make the data available to the public. We're striving to make this new program smoother, faster, it sounds like the $6 million man, and easier to use. We're utilizing technology available today to provide a modern-day system to our federal partners, but make the data accessible to the public for the future, the ongoing future. We're thrilled to be working with our IT vendor community. We have a great support community to explore cutting-edge technology today that will stand the test of time in the future. Our solutions will be more agile and forward-looking as we implement the technical solutions going forward. We're strategizing and standardized on scalable cloud strategies that we discussed a few minutes ago. We need to get and acquire elastic storage needs. As you can imagine, NARA and storage is pretty equal. And we just need to get strategic initiatives in place that will help us execute these scalable, elastic cloud solutions that we will need going forward to deliver these solutions.
One thing about ERA, which is just a fascinating project, is the fact is with paper, you know, we knew how to store paper. We know how to keep it in a cool area. I got the chance a number of years ago to tour the vaults of NARA in the downtown office space, not the one in College Park.
Yeah.
And it was just fascinating to see the records of records of records. And we know how to store that. But with electronic records, it's much more difficult. How are you envisioning from a strategy perspective saying, okay, we know what PDFs are today, but what will PDFs be 100 years from now? How do you deal with that issue?
Great question. So both NARA business community as well as my organization, we are looking at forming a focus group to start looking at just those issues. You know, we have started to form a dedicated IT working group to start considering the access needs for the ongoing future, the storage needs that's got to be scalable. The storage needs for NARA doesn't stop at permanent records. You know, it's anything. It's temporary records. The records come in many different flavors, and so it's not just a permanent need. So, for electronic records management strategy going forward, NARA and IT is starting to put a lot of focus on how we will get our arms around that going forward, and it's going to require some focused energy, focused people to come up with a delivery strategy that's sustainable.
I just want to be clear. You said you're looking at a focus group and then also a dedicated IT working group. Are they one and the same, or are we talking about two separate working groups?
So the focus group will have two parts. It will have a business community leader at an executive level to start to help us look at workflow, for example. You know, the business workflow that we at NARA delivered automation tools against for paper records management cannot be one and the same as what we deliver for electronic records. So it's comprised of two main components, the IT component and the business component. So when I say the focus group, I already have dedicated leadership from the IT team to partner with the business leadership, and I've started to look at and hire dedicated IT group that I know even for the next generation of the ERA products that we'll be putting out short-term versus looking at the longer-term strategy. So it's a focus group with one part being the IT dedicated group that we're starting to look at delivering the products that we need starting today, you know?
I think you have to with the way technology is changing, mobility, apps.
Exactly.
It's been the evolution, the revolution is here, right? Well, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we can jump into the rest of your priorities and maybe talk cyber, maybe some mobility.
Sounds good.
My guest today is Sharna Lee Haldar, the NARA Chief Information Officer. I'm your host, Jason Miller, and you're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm your host, Jason Miller. My guest today is Sharna Lee Haldar, the NARA Chief Information Officer. Now, Sharna Lee, before we went to break, we were talking a lot about your priorities, talking about electronic records archive and records management more generally. Several times during our discussion today, one thing that kept coming out is the word agile and the word modular. One big buzzword I hear from many, many CIOs is agile development or DevOps. Is that something that's happening within NARA currently, or is that something you're looking at for the future?
It is. Actually, the product delivery of the next generation of the ERA software, we are doing in an agile fashion. We are partnering right now with several vendor communities to develop it using the agile processes. I'm actually about to hire some agile expertise, such as Scrum Masters and so forth. You know, we're looking at, can we set up our IT organization to be in a bimodal way where we are looking at the day-to-day operations, but also looking at delivering products in a more agile fashion. So it's absolutely a reality for our world. We're starting to do some product delivery using the agile methodology while we're continuing to do certain ones in the traditional waterfall as well. I think the government has a learning curve and resource stretch for jumping right into the agile and completely leaving the waterfall ways behind. But we're trying to straddle that right now and hope to get some successes in our future for our product delivery using some of these new agile processes.
Now, from your background as a software developer, and I know it's, as you said, you've gotten out of that over the years, did you use agile? Obviously, you didn't do waterfall per se. You didn't spend, you know, 6 years on one project. But does this come more naturally to you from an operational, from a strategic perspective?
I think, you know, the agile methods come more naturally with my operational background because you do start to see the tangible products quicker. I think you get better business buy-in with the agile deliveries. They don't have to wait a year or 2 years or 3 years to touch and feel that product. And you get a better buy-in. You get better engagement. So that part actually is the operational background for me that helps me embrace the agile. Now, I'm not going to date myself and tell you when I last developed software. So I think agile is a better fit for getting business engagement early on in the product delivery stage.
And that goes back to an earlier part of our conversation when we talked about how you're refocusing to have business liaisons, you're refocusing to be more customer focused. Is that another reason why agile is so important at this point in time?
That, and you know, that's another reason we need to have a true set of program managers, a true set of project managers, and as any other government agencies do, you know, we kind of tend to just put a person or a group of persons on a given product or program delivery, and they wear many, many, many hats, and we kind of lose the focus of the business liaison activities, for example. So through my new organization layout, I'm hoping to let people do and wear the hats that they're supposed to wear and focus more on business activities. I think that's been a big void, at least from where I stand in the IT world, especially in our world here. And if we made a difference there, I think we would get better products, better business engagement, and happier IT folks because they're getting products that people love.
And happier business folks because they're getting the stuff they need.
Absolutely.
It's interesting because one CIO I spoke with just recently was really focused on kind of changing the dynamics where the IT people didn't just get the requirements as they got, quote unquote, thrown over the fence,
right,
and then we took care of them, but make it more of a partnership.
Yes.
And that's such a change. I mean, it shouldn't be. You think it's logical, but it is. And for so many CIOs, for so many agencies.
And especially in the government, we've been in a world where we expect the business community to come to us with solid requirements. And I think, you know, in the IT world is where we know how to write those requirements, take, you know, what's in their vision and what they want and turn them into tangible requirements for the IT world to deliver on. So I think if we can make that jump and make that change for our business world, it's a huge progress.
Absolutely. And good luck on that, because I know that it's not an easy culture change. And a lot of this, what we talk about, we love to talk technology, and I love getting into enterprise architecture. You know that now. But really what we're talking most of the time is the culture change.
Absolutely.
That has to go through. And that's what you're in the middle of. Speaking of culture change, we're going to jump into the next big one, which is around cybersecurity, continuous monitoring, continued diagnostics and mitigation, whatever we're calling it, CDM, is a huge effort across government. And obviously, cybersecurity, you can't go, 2 hours without hearing about another cyber attack. Talk about NARA's efforts as much as you can, because I know there's probably some sensitivities. How are you ensuring the safety of your computer networks?
So we at NARA leverage a suite of enterprise tools that provide continuous monitoring capabilities. It allows us to detect and respond to security threats proactively. You know, cybersecurity is a challenge now in the government as well as in the private sector. As we're hearing about Target and Sony, we need to make sure we're ahead of the game. We're in front of potential security threats. We have a partnership with the Department of Homeland Security, which has helped us implement security monitoring strategies. It's helped us improve our security posture greatly. It's even provided us with advanced intrusion detection processes. And while I can't go into the specifics, I can tell you it's allowed NARA to take our cybersecurity monitoring to the next level. And that's something, you know, we are all engaged on these days. Cybersecurity is a huge mission critical piece that it's key. We have to have a strong strategy, a stable strategy, and some of our partnerships that we formed has really helped us get some tools and processes in place that help us stay ahead of the game.
How do you strike that right balance? Because in one of, if you look at NARA's mission, it's around accessibility, letting the documents, letting the data out, but at the same time, you need to protect it. So I know that the document or the data I'm looking at is truly the original document versus somebody going and change it because your cybersecurity wasn't good for whatever reason. How do you achieve that balance?
So I think by having some of the proactive monitoring and management strategies that we have in place, Hopefully we've got some strategies in place that don't allow any manipulated documents or data to ever reach. We're going to have continued phishing emails, and we're going to have the typical cybersecurity events that happen. It's a matter of how we manage it. It's a matter of how we focus on staying proactive. And, there will be some pain. Cybersecurity just means that we're going to have some pain, but it's a matter of how we try to minimize that pain for the end user that's going to make or break our cybersecurity protocols and directives.
All right. Very good. I know every CIO is facing very similar challenges because there's a big push in the government for open data. At the same time, you got to secure it. You got to make sure the privacy and civil liberties parts are taken care of. So it's a never-ending challenge. We are almost out of time, speaking of never-ending challenges. But I always like to ask a getaway question because I know a lot of vendors listen to my show. So from your perspective, how do you like vendors to work with your office? Because your budget only $71 million, but that's still a lot of opportunity for a lot of people.
Absolutely. So we always welcome opportunities to work with vendor community. We have a great partnership with many different vendor communities currently for our product deliveries. If they do call our office, I tend to bounce them to our acquisition office. They have a great process in place. They have a point of contact in my staff that they can reach out to if they do think that the potential vendor discussion or demo is viable to what we need to do in the future to improve our service deliveries. Our acquisition office contact information is on archives.gov, and I absolutely want to encourage vendors if they have strategy improvement opportunities for us to partner with them for is to absolutely contact our acquisition office, and we look forward to those discussions.
All right, so don't blame me when your phone starts ringing from your acquisition folks who have gotten their phones ringing off the hook from those vendors.
Right. That's their job, right?
That's their job, exactly. All right, well, unfortunately, we are out of time. My guest today has been Sharna Lee Haldar, the NARA Chief Information Officer. I'm Jason Miller, your host, and you've been listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Sharna Lee, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Thank you very much, Jason.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, Ask the CIO, Thursday mornings at 10:30, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.